source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vasta Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, living with stiff person syndrome.
This disease is invisible, like a lot of pain conditions are. They see us walking funny, we have canes, but other than that, we could look pretty normal.
But first, the technology that's giving independence back to people with paralysis.
We place tiny chips in the brain. Someone can simply think about movements they would like to achieve. We know what they're thinking about. In a way, we're reading their minds.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Flu, COVID-19, and RSV can keep your older loved ones from the moments that mean the most, like graduations, birthday parties, or Sunday dinners. Last season, unvaccinated adults were about twice as likely to land in the hospital from these respiratory infections as people who had their vaccines. Don't let that happen. Help those you love get vaccinated this season. Get started at vaccines.gov, paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When Chad Boughton first got into bioelectronic medicine 20 years ago, he never imagined he'd be able to read someone's mind. The innovative field is one of the fastest growing segments of healthcare. It merges conventional medicine with technology by using implantable medical devices to interact with human tissue. For Boughton's first assignment, he was tasked to decode the brain signals of a paralyzed woman to figure out which patterns correlated to muscle movement.
The challenge is, well, how do you make sense of these signals that have never been recorded in a human over extended periods of time, because they do change over time as well? And how do you, crack that neural code? Well, I like to say it's kind of like learning a foreign language. You use association. So you're going to have someone's going to point to things, or you point to objects, and someone's going to say the correct terminology in that language, and you're going to associate those things in your brain. So we do a technique where we have the participant, the user or the patient, watch different imagery, watch someone moving their hand, or in this case, we have a virtual hand on the screen, and we collect the brain activity at the same exact time.
And then they teased out the signals that had repeating patterns whenever the patient watched the virtual hand move. Boughton is Vice President of Advanced Engineering at Northwell Health and Director of the Neural Bypass and Brain Computer Interface Laboratory at the Feinstein Institutes for Medical Research. Once the team was able to distinguish the movement signals, they studied the specific neurons to see how often and quickly they fire and how strong each burst is. Once all of that information was compiled, they began to teach this language to an AI system.
We used to use something that was kind of an early crude technique, and now we use more advanced neural networks that, really try to behave like the human brain in a sense, but it's running in a computer and we learn these patterns. And then for too long, someone can simply think about movements they would like to achieve. We know what they're thinking about. In a way, we're reading their minds.
And now they're able to link those signals back to the patient's muscles using a method called a neural bypass. The technology intercepts the signals and reroutes them around the damaged part of the brain.
It kind of sounds like science fiction, because we place tiny chips in the brain. These are electrode arrays, and we put them in the motor and sensory areas. And this is for people who are living with paralysis, either from a stroke or an injury, a traumatic injury, like spinal cord injury. And what happens is we place these chips after many months of planning and doing MRI imaging, but we basically link those electronically to a computer, and then we link the computer back to stimulation devices that are on the body to stimulate muscles and also even over the spinal cord.
The first iteration of this process was a one-way link from the brain to the muscle, meaning that someone could think about moving their hand and the technology would make it happen. Now Boughton has developed what he calls a double neural bypass. It still connects the brain to the body, but it also links the brain to the spinal cord to promote new connections. This latest technology can help a patient get stronger over time and have more function in their paralyzed limb, even when not connected to the machine. Keith Thomas is the first person to benefit from the double neural bypass. At age 42, Thomas became paralyzed from his chest down.
I was in Montauk for the weekend, and I dove into the wrong end of the pool.
The impact of diving into a shallow part of the pool was enough to break his neck.
And it fractured his vertebrae and damaged his spinal cord at the C4, 5, and 6 levels. And he was paralyzed from about mid-chest down. He even had shoulder impairment initially, and then couldn't lift his arms even off of his wheelchair rests, only about an inch.
Thomas spent 8 months in the hospital during the pandemic. He met Boughton soon after and qualified for the double neural bypass study in 2021. It took a while for the researchers to map his brain and figure out where the chip should be implanted. But in 2023, Thomas finally got the surgery.
This whole paralyzation, being quadriplegic in itself is just a pain in the butt. And you have to have a lot of patience. So I knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. Once I started getting involved in the study, I knew it was going to take a while to for the computer to realize what I was thinking and them mapping my brain for a year, not going to surgery right away.
5 microchips were implanted in Thomas's brain, divided between the motor and sensory areas. Since they have to connect to a computer, the pedestals are mounted onto the skull.
They sit low and they have little caps that you put on them just to protect them. And you don't submerge underwater, but he wouldn't normally do that anyway. But you basically can still quickly wash around, be careful. And then he comes into the lab and we connect up to those literally and plug in and plug his brain into the computer.
The brain signals reach his muscles through flexible patches of electrodes that are placed around his forearm. Another patch goes over his spinal cord to complete the second part of the double neural bypass. Boughton says it's performing just as his team had hoped.
After receiving a few months of stimulation over the spinal cord and doing all of the other things together, he basically doubled his arm strength. And now he can lift his arms all the way up to his face on each side and scratch his chin or wipe his mouth. And he's even starting to regain sensation in his wrist area on the contralateral side. So his right hand, which is opposite of where we implanted the chips in the brain. And it's because we believe from a combination of spinal cord stimulation and brain stimulation that we've been doing with these special patterns that are based on things that we learned about his particular brain activity and patterns.
Brain activity is different in each person. So even though Boughton was able to decode Thomas's brain signals, he has to start all the way over with each new patient to learn the exact language of their specific brain. While it used to take multiple hours over a few different sessions, the team has come up with techniques that allow them to learn the basic movements in about 15 minutes.
And we have a new method where we can now carry that over to future sessions. And we now have been able to, we call it trainingless decoding, where we can actually use training that we did even 2-3 weeks before. Sometimes we've even gone up to a month.
This progress is paving the way for users to eventually be able to do this all from the comfort of their home without having to recalibrate the technology. Once the signals have been decoded, they're fed back into the stimulation patches that are placed around the patient's forearm.
And we can target very specific muscle motor points, as they're called, or even muscle segments to move individual fingers and wrist and so on. And it can be used anywhere on the body.
But giving independence back to people with paralysis goes deeper than just movement. Those with complete paralysis don't have any sensation in the paralyzed limb. However, repairing the sensation wasn't a component of Boughton's first design. In fact, it was brought to the team's attention by a patient named Ian, who was the first person to regain movement by using this brain chip.
One day, months later, Ian commented that he could not feel the object. So he was thankful he could open his hand and pick things up and even take a drink from a cup, but he couldn't feel the cup at all. And he said it was very disconcerting, very also disorienting, because if he closed his eyes, he couldn't even tell exactly where his arms or hands were in space. Couldn't feel things. And then think about the personal aspect. Couldn't hold a loved one's hand and feel their hand. So at that moment, I knew we had to do something.
Though it took nearly a decade, Boughton's team finally had a breakthrough last year. They discovered that placing microchips in both the motor cortex and sensory area of the brain will help patients regain some of their lost sensation. While Thomas has made great progress with his mobility and strength, he's also been able to feel again for the first time since his accident.
I got feeling below the injury on my right hand, like around my wrist area. So it's kind of cool. Me personally, like petting my dog or like, you know, hugging my sister or something like that, like when it's really personal, it feels really good.
Despite all the progress that's been made, the research team continues to work towards their goal. And though it will be years before they accomplish everything they set out to, Boughton says participants like Thomas continue to inch them closer to success.
I like to say Keith and others that have participated in our studies are really the pioneers of this field. And they're trying some things that have never been done before. And they're working really hard, not only for themselves, but for the things we're learning and for the science and research aspects. Because we explained to all of our participants that these techniques and technologies may or may not be beneficial to them, but we hope that we learn something that will help people in the future. And every single participant, including Keith, has said it's worth it.
You can find more information about Chad Boughton, Keith Thomas, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield. This segment is brought to you by Capital One. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One, N.A., member FDIC.
Coming up, the disorder that plagues Celine Dion, when Radio Health Journal returns.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Again, Scent Bead Story. Jim was at the laundromat when he heard. His ear said, "Maracas, senor," but his nose said, "Hey, freshest scent ever." Following his nose, Jim found a man pouring a bottle of Gain scent beads into the washer. The scent, the freshness. Jim blurted, "Sir, your scent maracas smell amazing." Actually, Jim, most noses call them Gain scent beads. Try Gain scent beads, way fresher than detergent alone.
Earlier this year, Celine Dion released a documentary about her experience with stiff person syndrome. It came 2 years after announcing her diagnosis to the world. The condition is a rare autoimmune neurological disease that causes muscle stiffness and painful spasms, among other symptoms. Though it was first described in the 1950s, we still don't have a complete picture of SPS or what causes it. These mysteries are partly why other people with SPS were so excited for the singer to showcase this disorder in her documentary.
That's a light to shine on a very rare disorder that, you know, if there's 7,500 of us in the world, like, who cares? And I get it, you know, like from a medical system standpoint, I could even see not caring. But when somebody that is, you know, an international treasure comes in to the picture, it's a time and it shines a light. And as a very rare disease, there you just can't oversell how amazing that is.
That's Dr. Ilia Khan, a board-certified psychiatrist and one of the few people living with stiff person syndrome. While SPS most often develops in adults, Khan felt the pain early in her childhood. She remembers it starting in her neck, a symptom her mom had noticed as well.
She noticed always that I was stretching my neck and rolling my shoulders. When they did a screening at school, like they used to do, and I hope they still do, grade school scoliosis nurse, you know, asked you to touch your toes. And I was diagnosed with scoliosis and saw a chiropractor because, again, my parents were the kind of parents you could talk to this stuff about even as a kid. They took me seriously, and I will be forever grateful for that. And at 10, this chiropractor took me seriously, and he told me things like, this isn't normal. And so, you know, best thing you can do is sleep on your back as much as possible.
It was this advice, along with the exercises he gave her, that Khan believes has saved her life. Though she spends about 20 hours in bed each day, Khan continues to run through her stretches, a feat many other patients are unable to accomplish. Unfortunately, the scoliosis diagnosis didn't take away her pain. The body aches only worsened as Khan got older and enrolled in medical school. She tried anything to numb the pain. There were many days you could find Khan and her roommate running around New York City in search of spas.
In New York, thank God, you can go to a place where like two women will stand on top of you, which is, you know, which I need for my personal muscle rigidity. I need a, you know, a steamroller or something that can break up steel cables or cement because that's how hard the muscles feel.
Khan continued to explain away her pain by blaming it on long hours of bending over textbooks, but she no longer had a good excuse when she went off to residency. The people around her started to question just how okay she was when she started pulling away from social activities. Khan hadn't thought to go to a neurologist yet and was being diagnosed with other conditions in the meantime. When her migraine diagnosis couldn't explain her other symptoms, they'd move on to a new one that would make more sense, but was never quite right.
All of a sudden, my symptoms are like leaking out from that bucket of the thing we just diagnosed. And that's why, you know, they call SPS a diagnosis of exclusion, because you have to find out that you have it, you have to disprove all other possible diagnoses that could be close, mimic it, or look something like it. So it's a lot of pressure on the patient to get all those diagnostics,
which include blood tests, lumbar punctures, MRIs, and nerve stimulation tests.
It's not fun, especially because usually at that point, the patient is not treated properly or not treated at all. And so we're jumping around. We look like demonic possession and we can't stay in the wheelchair. We're sliding down. And from the psychiatric point of view, like absolutely, that could look like a bona fide person that is having some sort of psychosomatic or psychotic or et cetera problem. But it isn't at all. We're spasming. But if you tell that to somebody who hasn't seen what that's like for both the bicep and the tricep to spasm at the same time, I mean, that's a unique feature. We have agonist and antagonist things at the same time, which is why we can lie in bed and with a stressor like a fever, which makes muscles more rigid in everybody. But to us, that can break a long bone because, you know, like the humerus, while you're just laying in bed.
Unfortunately, none of her doctors had suspected Khan's extreme pain was due to stiff person syndrome. Regardless, Khan continued to do what she does best and push forward with life. She accepted a fellowship position at Yale Medical School after finishing her residency, a decision that would eventually lead her to the correct diagnosis. It was there that a co-fellow encouraged her to finally see a neurologist.
I was just in tremendous amounts of pain. It was still traps. It was still neck. I had always managed with massage, chiropractic, and then finally, you know, it wasn't working anymore. And so that's the year that I first, you know, saw a neurologist. So I still see this doctor, and he was the first one that said, it sounds like stiff person syndrome.
But again, just like when she was diagnosed with scoliosis as a young girl, knowing her condition didn't relieve her pain. There's no cure for stiff person syndrome. Instead, treatment is focused on minimizing the symptoms using sedatives, muscle relaxants, and procedures similar to dialysis. While Khan has dabbled in a few, including plasma replacement therapy, she's consistently been getting Botox injections throughout the years.
From the back of my head all the way down, my lumbar and my foot arches and et cetera, for paralysis, which helps you don't feel the pain if you have a paralyzed muscle.
Muscle spasms aren't the only symptoms these patients have to deal with. Khan says that since the muscles are pulling in all directions, many people with SPS have skeletal issues. Additionally, many patients have low levels of GABA, a neurotransmitter that slows down brain activity and reduces stress.
And so we don't have brakes on our nerves, which account for sometimes our speech, some people, or their quick mind, you know, their racing thoughts, they describe it as, which is, you know, as a psychiatrist, I'm like bipolar because it's like mania. But no, you know, racing thoughts can happen from anxiety, from anything. And I think that it can just happen from fast nerve impulses. And now I realize I wasn't a worried child because I was only worried, you know, and soul or whatever they would call it, you know, but I was worried because I was going too fast.
Today, Khan and her friend Leia create videos around SPS awareness on their YouTube channel, Heart to Heart. They've also partnered with the Johns Hopkins Stiff Person Syndrome Center as patient advocates. One consideration Khan pushes for is that every patient with chronic pain should have a psychiatrist because physical discomfort almost always leads to mental anguish.
This disease does foster, you know, if you read and list the symptoms, agoraphobia, that's like panic to leave. And I have it. And I think my way through it. I'm like, you reach that doorknob and you do it because I know it's irrational. And so I make myself do it, but it's not easy. So a lot of this disease is about we freak ourselves out because the initial irrationality or, you know, emotional stuff, it comes from a place deep, deep in our subconscious because it's the nervous system that's reacting. You know, it's not us. It's not who we want to be, but it is in the core.
Along with increasing awareness, the YouTube channel has helped build a community for people living with SPS, regardless if they're able to make it out of their homes.
We talk about just stuff, you know, whatever we have in common, like fear of the hospital system or going to get a, you know, medical attention because of re-traumatizing or trying to look sicker than you are because people don't believe you're as sick as you are because this disease is invisible, like a lot of pain conditions are. They see us walking funny. We have canes, but other than that, we could look pretty normal.
Though there's still a lot to be learned about stiff person syndrome, we do know that the disease and its symptoms exist on a spectrum. You can find more information about SPS, Dr. Ilea Khan, and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
Flu, COVID-19, and RSV can keep your older loved ones from the moments that mean the most, like graduations, birthday parties, or Sunday dinners. Last season, unvaccinated adults were about twice as likely to land in the hospital from these respiratory infections as people who had their vaccines. Don't let that happen. Help those you love get vaccinated this season. Get started at vaccines.gov, paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Moments like making my kids my famous meatballs mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Medical notes this week. Is cooked food a health risk?
Scientists may have discovered why eating foods cooked at high temperatures raises a person's risks of cancer. The theory? Damaged DNA. Research published in ACS Central Science reveals that high heat can injure DNA within the food. Consuming the damaged food could be a genetic risk. Small molecules present in charred and fried foods are believed to be harmful to the consumer's own DNA. If you have anxiety, you may be able to blame your ancestors. New research published in Nature Genetics has revealed a genetic predisposition to anxiety. They believe that more than 100 genes are associated with the disorder. This risk could also be connected to pain and gastrointestinal conditions. Does music make you more spontaneous? Scientists have found a connection between sound and risky decision-making. When you make a choice, some neurons in your brain release dopamine. However, a new study in Nature Communications shows that when an unexpected sound triggers this dopamine release, people tend to make riskier decisions. When the study participants were surprised with bursts of sound, they were 4% more likely to take a risk. And finally, why you should take a nap before judging someone else. Research in the Journal of Experimental Psychology General shows how sleep affects our perception. People tend to be strongly influenced by first impressions in the short term. However, those who take time to think about their decision think more rationally. At night, our brains help knit together all parts of our memory to create one big picture, which helps us make better choices. And that's Medical Notes This Week. I'm Mayon Vosta-Betancourt.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Flu, COVID-19, and RSV can keep your older loved ones from the moments that mean the most, like graduations, birthday parties, or Sunday dinners. Last season, unvaccinated adults were about twice as likely to land in the hospital from these respiratory infections as people who had their vaccines. Don't let that happen. Help those you love get vaccinated this season. Get started at vaccines.gov, paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunny skies and gusty southwest winds today up around 25 miles per hour, or highs reaching the mid-70s. Mostly clear near 50 in the overnight. It stays a bit on the breezy side. Monday mostly sunny, highs in the middle 70s.
Currently 52 degrees.
This week on Viewpoints.
I knew that it felt unsafe, and I knew that it was incredibly dehumanizing and demoralizing for the woman giving birth.
Imagine being strapped down and restrained during labor. Understanding what female prisoners go through when they're giving birth in jail. Then,
it's warm all the time. They don't have heat or air conditioning because the weather is always great and all that stuff, and very inexpensive to live.
A record number of retirees are moving to warmer, cheaper climates. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Our new KFC three-piece original recipe tenders, fries, and comeback sauce are just $5. A deal so tasty, our competitors might consider switching sides.
So no one will recognize me if I say how much I love your 11 herbs and spices?
Nope, I added a filter to your voice.
Sounds like it's only on your voice.
No, it's on your voice. Wait.
Let the chicken tender battles begin. Try the new three-piece original recipe tenders, fries, and comeback sauce for $5. Only at KFC. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
As of 2023, around 40 states have passed laws limiting the use of leg shackles, handcuffs, and belly chains while prisoners give birth. However, there are still reports of law enforcement agencies ignoring these policies and moving forward with restraints.
I started working as a physician providing obstetrical and gynecologic care to women in the San Francisco jail. And after just a few months of being a physician there, I recognized and experienced a lot of tensions and contradictions of providing care in a space of punishment. So once I began to really notice that, which I think if anyone in a caregiving profession works inside of a jail or prison, it's kind of hard to ignore that tension. It's something that I really wanted to explore more deeply.
Dr. Carolyn Suffren explores the ins and outs of being pregnant and incarcerated in her book, Jail Care, Finding the Safety Net for Women Behind Bars.
Incarcerated people are the only people in our country with a constitutional right to health care. That's something that most people aren't aware of and that might strike some of the listeners as unusual. So if you think about it, you and I in the so-called free world, we do not have in this country a constitutionally guaranteed right to health care. Neither does someone who was at one point incarcerated. But when they become incarcerated, they lose most of their rights. That's part of the punishment, is being stripped of most of your rights. And yet what you gain is this right to health care that you don't otherwise have outside. And that right to health care for incarcerated people comes from a 1976 Supreme Court case, Estelle versus Gamble, in which the Supreme Court said that not to provide health care or not to tend to the serious medical needs of prisoners is basically cruel and unusual punishment, therefore violates the Eighth Amendment.
Though inmates are guaranteed health care, Suffren says there is no real standard for how attentive that health care must be across the country. She says in her years working with inmates, she saw a whole host of women as they struggled with their status as pregnant and incarcerated.
Every woman has a different response to it, but I would say what I most commonly observed among women like Evelyn and like Kima, another woman I came to know quite well, and others who were pregnant while in jail, a lot of them were really scared. Being pregnant behind bars, not knowing what kind of medical care they were going to receive. And in the book, I described the care that exists at the San Francisco jail. And of course, I should acknowledge that I provided some of that care. But the care that's provided at the San Francisco jail is relatively better than at many jails across this country, where women, pregnant women in particular, do not receive adequate prenatal care. And that leads some women to deliver their babies in their jail cells when they're not taken to the hospital in time. And so a lot of women in jail, a lot of pregnant women in jail, are really scared about their own health and safety of being pregnant.
Suffren says she was present once for a disturbing delivery behind bars that never left her mind since. The guards in the facility actually shackled her patient with handcuffs before the delivery.
I never even conceived that this is something that could be possible. And I was so taken aback, I didn't even know what to do. I didn't know if I had the authority to ask the prison guard to remove the shackles. I just didn't know what I would do. But I knew that it felt unsafe, and I knew that it was incredibly dehumanizing and demoralizing for the woman giving birth. And I also knew that I was unsure what I would do if there was an emergency. I actually have a colleague who told me about a time when they needed to do an emergency C-section, which required transporting a patient from her labor and delivery room into the operating room, but she was shackled to the bed, so she couldn't be transported to the operating room, and the guard was on his lunch break. And so there was no one to unlock the restraints, and this led to an unnecessary delay in emergency medical care.
Suffren says since those incidents, much progress has been made to protect mothers from such care. Still, she says there is more that needs to be done.
Since then, there are now 22 states across this country that ban the shackling of pregnant women in labor. The Federal Bureau of Prisons also has a policy against it, and the District of Columbia also has a law. Now, that's only 22 states. That means in 28 other states, it is perfectly legal to shackle a pregnant woman in labor. It's just because our institutions of incarceration are so mired in this culture of power and hierarchy and seeing prisoners as dangerous and worthy of punishment, that you have to pass a law to prohibit something that for most medical professionals and probably most people in society seems like common sense. How could a woman in labor be a risk to public safety? Could she really run off in between painful contractions? And also just the basic threats to human dignity that it poses.
Suffren says she wants people to come away from this book understanding what types of obstacles pregnant inmates face, and then to reevaluate how those people should be treated.
These are not just women who are somewhere else who are not connected to you in any way, because these are people who are part of our society. And most of them, especially most of the women who are incarcerated, have not committed violent crimes. Most women who are in our criminal justice system are there for nonviolent offenses that are often related to their conditions of disadvantage, of poverty, of drug addiction, of racial injustice. And so these are people who are part of our society, and it's all of our responsibility to think about how we can better serve these women, better help ensure that they're not incarcerated, and make sure that they're getting better and more appropriate medical care while they're incarcerated, but also while they're in the community. So again, this is really about all of us. This is not about people who are locked up and far away from all of us. This is our society.
To find out more about this topic and our guest, Carolyn Suffren, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes and to support our show, follow us on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment originally aired in February 2019 and was written and produced by Evan Rook. Our executive producer is Amira Zuberi. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, saving the retirement nest egg by moving abroad when Viewpoints returns.
Moments like my daughter telling me a new joke mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
An official message from Medicare.
Couple more minutes, and we'll start this month's book club.
You know, I usually love a plot twist, but this year, I'm comparing my options during Medicare open enrollment.
You can't assume your current health or drug plan is the best one for you.
And you gotta make sure your drugs are covered. That's important.
So is saving money.
Review all your options at Medicare.gov. Open enrollment ends December 7th. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The number of American retirees moving abroad has increased by almost 50% since 2008. That's according to the Social Security Administration. More seniors than ever are making the move to countries like Ecuador, Italy, Mexico, and Japan. The primary motivation? Retirees say their savings stretch further overseas. With lower healthcare costs, more affordable housing, and great weather, many Americans over 65 are embracing life abroad. Some countries, like Costa Rica and the Philippines, even offer special visas and tax incentives to attract new residents. Holly and Mark Deckard moved to Cuenca, Ecuador 3 years ago, a city International Living magazine recently named one of the top overseas retirement destinations. The couple were both born and raised in St. Louis and lived in the area their entire lives. Neither one had spent much time outside of the United States. But about 10 years ago, when a family friend shared their positive experience with moving abroad, the Deckards started thinking more about the possibility.
It's warm all the time. They don't have heat or air conditioning because the weather is always great, you know, and all that stuff, and very inexpensive to live. And that's what kind of got me thinking about it. And then I started researching a little bit, and, you know, Ecuador kind of kept popping up as a desirable location. And I just, you know, researched a little bit more. And then we visited in 2019. And a few months after that, I got laid off. And I really didn't want to continue working, and did the math and like, hey, let's move down to Ecuador.
Mark says his wife, Holly, thought he was crazy. But the more they researched, the better the idea sounded. Holly says they were planning to check out Panama, Costa Rica, and Mexico. But once they visited Cuenca, they knew their search was over.
Once we came, I fell in love with this city immediately. I mean, they call it the Athens of South America. It feels very European. The weather is always, like right now, I'm wearing a sweater because this week it's been a little chilly, which means the highs are only in the mid-60s. Normally, it's closer to 70 or mid-70s the rest of the year.
In their eyes, there are lots of benefits to living in Cuenca. On top of the good weather, the couple are eating healthier and enjoying lots of fresh fruits and vegetables. They say their neighborhood is very walkable and that travel within Ecuador is inexpensive. Most of all, they appreciate that the cost of living is cheap and affordable compared to U.S. prices.
I'd say it costs about half. Our day-to-day expenses are about half what they would be in the U.S. I wouldn't classify us as economic refugees. We could technically afford to still live in the U.S., but our lifestyle would be much reduced, and we'd probably both have regular part-time jobs to supplement our retirement.
They believe their standard of living is much better in Cuenca than it would have been had they stayed in St. Louis.
We had an apartment, a furnished apartment, our first 2 years to make sure we wanted to stay. And then now we have a house with a yard, and I have a studio, which has enabled me to have ceramic students. It would be considered a four-bedroom house. We don't have it set up that way with an office, and it's, what, 2,500 square feet?
But with your studio, it's about 2,300.
And we're paying $900 a month. And our utilities are only around $60. That's electric and gas.
That $900 is a little on the high side. It's only because we're kind of in a desirable location.
Right. Well, we have a yard, a very nice front and backyard, which most people in the city don't really have that. The houses are more like row houses close together, you know.
Living in Ecuador, the Deckards can afford to eat out at nice restaurants whenever they feel like it. They also travel several times a year. Australia, Hawaii, Europe, including visits to the States to see their children.
We can travel and pay for them to come visit us. We don't have to worry about draining our savings.
Another cost savings? Healthcare. Both Holly and Mark are in their early to mid-60s, so they don't qualify for Medicare. Instead, they opted into a U.S. health insurance policy for catastrophic care and only pay out-of-pocket for day-to-day medical needs and office visits.
Here, the health care, even if you're paying out-of-pocket without insurance, it's not going to bankrupt you. And they have very good, there's four or five hospitals here in Cuenca. It's a university town. There's five universities. There's great medical facilities. They do have, and we joined their universal health care, which is more minimal and is struggling because it's not mandatory. So a lot of people are not part of it. But Mark had so many pre-existing conditions, and we wanted to get into that system in case he needed, because the insurance here is pretty much like the U.S. If you have a pre-existing condition, they don't cover it.
Once they had their health care sorted out, the process of moving was fairly straightforward. Like other migrants, the couple did have to navigate the visa process. Today, they are not citizens, but like many others in Ecuador, are considered permanent residents.
You can come to Ecuador and stay for 90 days without doing it, just with your passport. If you want to stay longer, you can apply for a 90-day extension. But beyond that, you need to apply for a temporary resident visa. And that's what we did. And that's a 2-year visa.
And then after that, you can apply for a permanent visa, which it never expires as long as we follow the rules, which is the first 3 years, we can't be out of the country for more than 6 months total each year. And then after 3 years, though, we can be gone for as much as 5 years. And then we don't lose it. So for our lifetime, we don't have to become citizens. We can just be permanent residents.
But moving to a foreign country isn't all smooth sailing. There's often a language barrier to consider. Neither of them spoke Spanish before they relocated. They hired an online teacher from Cuenca and took Zoom lessons a year before moving to the city.
At this point, our functional Spanish, like for shopping, taxis, restaurants, I'd say is really good, but we've still got a ways to go. At our age, learning a new language is hard.
Like the Deckards, David Morrill is an expat who moved to Cuenca from the U.S. Morrill has been living in Cuenca for nearly 20 years, and he says there can be an adjustment period for new arrivals. Morrill points out that there can also be tension between new residents from the U.S. and the native population in Ecuador.
We're creatures of our own culture. Obviously, we're going to have a lot of touchstones with that culture, in most cases, North America, somewhat in Europe. And the language barrier keeps some people. There's little clusters of expats who get together at bars and clubs and whatnot and sort of stand off from the rest of the culture, partly because of the security of communicating with it.
He says, in addition to the language barrier, dealing with foreign bureaucracy is frustrating.
You're dealing constantly, a lot, particularly at the beginning, with bureaucracy, which is very thick and very arduous here to navigate. So, a lot of the expats here have what you call facilitators. They'll have a local person who helps them with their visa issue, with banking for various things, medical issues. So there's many shocks. And they keep coming, no matter how long you've been in a place.
Morrill says navigating cultural differences around things like women's rights is also something to consider before relocating.
I would say this is true of any place in Latin America. The machismo is a very strong element in this culture. And it's changing. It's changing fairly fast. But we're probably, 30 years behind the U.S. Before I left Florida, I was on a board of directors of a domestic violence center. So I was kind of immersed in that. So the women are still, they have quite a ways to go in the equality issues, same as in the U.S. And this also applies to racial issues. I'm from a mixed family. I raised 2 African-American children. So I'm conscious of that here quite a bit.
Preparing for these kinds of cultural shocks is key to any transition when moving abroad.
Probably the big point of becoming an expat is the question of how do you become an expat? How do you prepare for it? That's a big issue because a lot of people are not prepared for it. They come down here expecting a lower cost of living, which is true, but they don't come expecting the huge cultural shock. I mean, they may be intellectually aware of that, but they're not really ready to accommodate it. So you really need to be prepared. You need to make, wherever you're thinking of moving overseas, you need to have a preparatory trip and spend some time there and see how it feels to you. Don't make a rash decision based on, say, saving money or something else that's advertised. You need to spend some time in the area where you're thinking of moving.
You can learn more about this topic by visiting our website at viewpointsradio.org, where you'll also learn more about all of our past guests. For more behind the scenes, follow Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio engineer is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Our new KFC three-piece original recipe tenders, fries, and comeback sauce are just $5. A deal so tasty, our competitors might consider switching sides.
So no one will recognize me if I say how much I love your 11 herbs and spices.
Nope, I added a filter to your voice.
Sounds like it's only on your voice.
No, it's on your voice. Wait.
Let the chicken tender battles begin. Try the new three-piece original recipe tenders, fries, and comeback sauce for $5. Only at KFC. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
What's better than one win? Three wins? With Straight Savings, you keep your own phone, get one line for only $25 a month with real unlimited data, and get rewarded with a $200 phone credit after 12 months. It's a win-win-win. Head to Walmart or visit straighttalk.com today. Switch to Straight Talk. Less dollars, more sense. Straight Savings Plan enrollment requires compatible unlocked device and new line of service. Bonus device credit requires 12 months of active service. Offer ends if eligibility requirements are no longer met. Taxes and fees apply. For network management practices, see Straight Talk's terms and conditions.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Last month, Hurricane Helene hit the shores of Florida, wreaking widespread destruction on the southeastern United States. Millions of people lost power, running water, and access to many communication lines. For residents trying to get in touch with loved ones, gaining access to Wi-Fi was a lifeline. In Asheville, North Carolina, which saw destructive flooding, the Pack Memorial Public Library used its generators to transform into a community gathering spot and provide free access to Wi-Fi. Not long after, the town also worked with a phone provider to set up online access at the local courthouse. For people outside of the downtown area, firefighters led an effort to get portable cell towers connected to generators. This is just one example out of many in which public spaces became key fixtures after an extreme weather event. After all, most people don't own a generator. Generac, a big seller of these machines, estimates that about 7% of all U.S. homes have one on hand. A portable generator can cost anywhere between $500 to $2,000, while a larger model that can power a whole home will set you back anywhere between $5,000 to $8,000. These prices are out of reach for many Americans, and as climate change creates stronger, more frequent, and less predictable storms, community resources and first responders will continue to be tested. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. In October, many of us storm the streaming apps and our local theaters looking for horror options. Sometimes we'll go for something familiar, like Halloween or A Nightmare on Elm Street. And sometimes we'll get a little more niche, maybe Barbarian or The Empty Man. But there's also plenty for audiences to love in a good horror novel. Personally, nothing hits me harder than a long, spooky read on a crisp autumn night. For example, one of my favorite novels is Salem's Lot, a 1970s Stephen King classic about a small town in Maine with a creepy old house where townfolk start falling suspiciously ill. I don't want to say too much except to say that the ideal way to experience the story is through the pages of King's book. There's a new adaptation of the novel on Max right now, and it just doesn't deliver the goods. A two-hour movie simply doesn't have the time to fully develop the characters or their relationships, so when the true horror begins, the audience simply doesn't care, the way King makes his readers care in his books. Some other King classics worth a read this October? You can't go wrong with Carrie, his first published novel, or Pet Sematary, which earns the title of Scariest King Book, in my estimation. If you're looking for more classic literature, Bram Stoker's Dracula is in the public domain, meaning anybody with a Kindle or other e-reader can download it for free right now. Ditto Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And who's complaining about reading Dracula or Frankenstein with some hot apple cider on a stormy night? Not me. Finally, if you're looking for something more current, one horror author who's been churning out some great books lately is Grady Hendrix. His title, The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires, kept me absolutely rapt the whole time, and I'm planning to read his 2016 novel, My Best Friend's Exorcism, very soon. Another horror novelist who has been hitting the New York Times bestseller list in recent years is Stephen Graham Jones, author of I Was a Teenage Slasher, The Only Good Indians, and more. My point is this: don't limit your horror mania to just the big screen or the small screen. Even famously legacy titles like Salem's Lot or Frankenstein can take on a whole new depth when you allow yourself to get lost in the original works. I'm Evan Rook.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds, which could be life-changing. I mean, you could put that money towards concert tickets for your daughter to see that singer who sings about painful breakups. And one song will inspire your little beauty to break up with that beast she's dating, Brian. Instead, she'll date someone who's nice and worthy of her love, not someone who addresses you and your spouse as bro. And it's all because you could save money switching at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states.
So my home is also my office. And before I can focus, every room's got to be clean. That means tidying up and spraying my Febreze Air Mist.
Ooh, that's fresh.
Febreze Air Mist scents are all high quality. They fight any weird funk and they give my air an instant boost of freshness. So not only does my home smell good, I feel good too. After I Febreze, it's time to start my day.
Breathe happy Febreze, la 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 la.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows. And find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.